There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Let's go around the NFL in the loop style.
Why are you smiling?
Because I love football.
Brought to you by Quick Assist. Here's John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
I'm going to tell you all about how much fun you're going to have this season.
On Houston's sports leader, Sports Radio 610.
Yeah, you're in the loop. Right here on Sports Radio 610, we were just doing our question of the day where we were asking about, you know, the real things that would get the people moving on an election day. And somebody was like, ketchup and mayo being illegal on steak, if you had a candidate that was willing to put that up here.
The fact that you would even have to make a law to say that, though. Ketchup and mayo on your steak?
It happens.
What is going on?
It happens.
Like, what's wrong with you? Like, to me, there's a deeper issue that goes beyond politics and policy.
I'll take it further to steak sauce, like Heinz 57 and A1. What the hell are you doing?
I wouldn't go that far.
No, I put that on, like, chop steak. Or a pork chop.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say. I'm trying to do it without being, like, a steak snob. Like, the sauce is one thing. If
you're going to put sauce on a steak, it got to be steak sauce or Heinz 57.
But not a real steak. It has to be like a chop steak or something.
This thing, Lopez, people might not know about all of that.
This is why they say politics is divisive. Look
That's
at y'all.
What I'm saying, Lopez.
Look at y'all. This is what politics is.
You being a little elitist here. Some people, all they know is they A1.
Yeah, you can't do ketchup, man.
But that is a bridge too far.
How about the other one that had
mayonnaise? What are we talking about? On your steak?
Nah, come on.
Yeah, I don't understand that one. And I'm not going to try to understand that one. I'm sorry, I will not bridge that.
Come on,
bridge that gap. And this one, I was just like, I don't know what you're doing. 573, they said, you get to pick one person a week to box at work gets my vote.
A week? A week?
I don't know about boxing.
You trying to fight someone once a week?
How about you just pop them once?
A week?
One person a week.
Get a new job at that point.
Like,
and I'm not even saying, like, it's your personal responsibility or whatever. Like, I understand, right? Sometimes work can be tough. But if you're in a place where you feel the need to box someone once a week, you're not doing what's good for you.
What you should do is once a year, you should have a pillow fight with somebody you can't stand.
That's
and
good.
Just fight that person with a pillow.
But the moment it gets to the point to where I want to smack one of y'all, we got serious problems. I need to get out of here. Somebody's got to go. Yeah, man. I don't want to be in that space where I want to smack you or you want to smack me.
Exactly.
No. That means we're doing something very wrong.
That is correct. All right. Okay, all right. Now we're getting real into the weeds here on the 5-hour energy text line.
On my platform, we would do away with toll roads. That would be my thing.
Oh, that's good.
We would do away with the toll roads on the roads that we paid for already.
Yeah.
So that would be my thing. And that's actually something that people
actually do.
Yeah. But that's my soapbox.
Make this available to all the people right now. I think people would vote for B. Scott. The B. Scott platform would absolutely do some numbers. 346 said, I'm a repo man. I stand by the fight one person a week thing. I have a strong feeling that if you're a repo man and you're having a fight, you're not doing the job right. All right, we'll go to around the NFL.
I'm not fighting a repo man. That's a man that has fought more than I have.
Yeah.
That's a man who's why fight when you could pull is basically what I'm trying to say. Anyways, let's go around the NFL, which is brought to you by Quick Assist. Are tired of the hassle of selling your tickets? Say goodbye to the stress and let their experts get you the best price. Download Quick Assist from your app store today and they'll handle the rest. That's Quick Assist, Q-U-I-C-K-A-S-Y-S-T. Quick Assist, your ticket everywhere. Last night, We got another one of those games for the Chiefs. And what do I mean when I say that? One where they looked gettable, and yet still, here they are, winning at the end of it. And in the course of it, you go to overtime, and then the Chiefs become the boogeyman that we all expect. They get the ball on the snap. And what's hilarious, you see the video of Baker Mayfield with the, and he just looks like somebody told him that he not getting Christmas this year.
Yeah.
He was sick as soon as it was decided that the Chiefs would get the ball, because he knew what was going to happen. And that's exactly what happened. They went down, they score, they win, and the Chiefs do it again.
Do you feel like you have a better chance beating the Chiefs going for two at the end of the game to win the game?
Yes.
Or rolling the dice, which to me is not even rolling the dice, and going to overtime where they are assuredly going to beat
what,
you?
It's not even a question.
Yeah.
My only question.
And they asked the question on the broadcast, and I was surprised at how dismissive it sounded. Like, to me, it's like, no, you should be going for two, because you don't want to play more against the Chiefs.
That's
my only question. Sorry. My only question was, have you not seen the Chiefs? Have you not watched the Chiefs?
They beat the Chiefs.
You know, if you're unsure, call Josh Allen from the sidelines. You know, call
Josh Allen really is. He has a PhD.
Call Josh Allen from the side. Hey, should we go for two? He would just hang up. That would be his answer. Yeah, of course.
But all of us have CBS and Fox and NBC. And most of us have Amazon. We've all seen it.
Yes.
All of us. Not just Josh Allen. Like, are you new to the world?
We watch tape of who?
Yeah, so I just realized that I did not set up this particular portion of it. If you're not familiar, the Buccaneers were down very late in this game. They go and they score a touchdown late in the fourth quarter. And obviously, that was the one to tie it with the extra point. However, in that moment, you have the opportunity to go for two and the win in that decision, and have that single play decide what happens. And I feel like the rule of thumb in football is, if you are the better team, you go and tie it. You give yourself an opportunity to go and win it where you have more plays and it's not dependent on one player. If you are not the better team in the situation, you go, I'm not going to have a better chance than what is, in theory, a 50-50 shot at this one play from the two-yard line to get the win.
Mine is high school level strategy, B. Scott. If you're on the road, you go for two. If you're at home, you go for the tie. That's it.
To me, the principle is even more so in the Chiefs. The fact that it's the Chiefs, like I don't disagree with anything that y'all are saying, but it's even amplified when it's the Chiefs. It's Patrick Mahomes, and you're telling me I've got the ball inside the five and I get to run a play to win the game versus let's play a whole nother version of a quarter. No, let's not do that. Let me win or lose right here with this one play. Watch the football game and bet it all on one play.
And here's the last thing. Chiefs are going at least 12-0 now, because they've got the Broncos next, at the Bills. They're gonna you know, crush their souls. Panthers and Raiders.
Yeah, there's at least two.
The Bills is tough, but they'll beat. I mean, they always crush their
souls. They're probably going dog walk.
So the big thing about this game, though, or just when I think about the Chiefs, is just how differently they're able to win. How they've changed their identity over the years. Mm-hmm. And then this game kind of becomes, or goes back to, some of the classic points of the Chiefs. When their defense, the one that's been lauded over the last couple of years, and rightfully so, gives us some points at the end. And it is the existence of Patrick Mahomes and the institution that is the Chiefs that gets them through this. It's like, man, they are there.
With some new bit players, hello to DeAndre Hopkins.
Yes.
8 catches, 86 yards, 2 tutties. And he looked very happy to be playing alongside Patrick Mahomes.
And of course, he fits well with Patrick Mahomes. DeAndre Hopkins has made the likes of, like, basically the whole list of guys that he played with here, right? Mm-hmm. He's made those guys look good. What you think he could do for Patrick Mahomes?
Yeah, at that point, he might be like, oh, there's somebody that can make me look good. Cool. Yeah,
right.
That's a nice reciprocity that I have not fully been able to engage
it
with.
This whole thing just makes me sick.
Yeah. That's right. Looking at you, Titans. Thanks for another reason for you to not like that franchise. They went ahead and were like, hey, Kansas City Chiefs, would you like the final Infinity Stone? Right? Yeah. Like, would you like that?
That is exact. They gifted the Chiefs the final Infinity Stone. Just
part of me, though,
this.
As much as I'm sick about it, is kind of happy for Hop. He's never had
absolutely.
This. He's never. I mean, yes, a little bit, here and there with Deshaun, but never. ever had this.
Yeah, no, it's a hell of an opportunity for Hop. And I think about it, like I see him out there on offense, then you see on defense with the dreadlocks, you got Justin Reed, back-to-back Super Bowl champion. I'm happy for him, too. But I'm like, man, what is it about leaving this place?
So there's the sickness of just seeing the Chiefs get better. But how much did you then view all of this through the lens of, one, that's one of the teams that the Texans would have to go through.
Mm-hmm.
And then, two, hey, this is a team that has been very active at the trade deadline in juxtaposition to the news or the reporting that it is highly unlikely that the Texans are going to make a move by 3 p.m. today.
It just doesn't surprise me at all. I'm with everybody. I'm not trying to knock down the energy of folks that are somewhat outraged by them not making a deal. I just can't be surprised by it, and I'm not able to work up enough outrage based off of how they laid this season out.
Mm-hmm.
They bet this season on the offseason. We're like, let's not get to this point and forget about the conversation that we were having in the offseason about them having perhaps the best offseason, not just of any NFL team in that particular period, but in some cases ever. You know, the only ones to sign a 1,000-yard rusher, double-digit sack guy, and whatever the 1,000-yard receiving with Stephon Diggs, right? Like, the first team to do that in one offseason, to acquire that kind of combination of players. So, like, they put a lot into this season.
Did.
And then on top of that, you got to think about not just the Stephon Diggs trade, but how they structured that contract,
where you have $16 million in dead money next year,
that's next year, right?
Yeah.
Like, but just also like how much, you know, how much money you're paying him, you're actually paying him this year.
Yeah.
You know, it kind of restricts you a little bit on some of the things that you're able to do, and so this they bet on being ready. This they bet on not having to make a move,
sure,
at the trade deadline, on being good enough to where we're not having this conversation. So I think the fact that we are, and that there is so much energy around wanting them to make a move, feeling like they need to make a move, is a little bit of an indictment on how they went about this offseason that we all touted as being great.
100%, right? Like, I'm not going to do the revisionist history. I think that, though, that perspective should, in some ways, and I understand the fallacy in being pot committed, but I think it feels like it applies here, in that you have invested so much to this point. It feels like just a little more is what's necessary, and that just a little bit more doesn't feel like too much, right? Especially with the trades that we've seen come through outside of the Cowboys. It feels like everybody has paid a pretty reasonable price, and it just feels like, hey, just a little bit more to make sure that you're in a place where you're in a better situation.
The counterpoint to what you said, not that it's wrong, because I had this conversation with Reggie about an hour ago, is things change. Look at the Chiefs. The Chiefs lost Pacheco.
Yeah.
What'd they do?
But think about it.
The Chiefs lost a receipt. What'd they do? So you're not wrong, but the Texans are, man, I'm still bleeding. The Texans are in a place where the things have changed, and they could easily have adjusted. Instead, they're going the other way.
I promise he's not bleeding from anything that I did.
No, well,
I
you'll hear
no,
it.
Absolutely,
yeah,
we're no.
Just,
we're
just talking about hitting your coworkers in the face for,
and that's why I wanted to make
campaign.
It clear.
As your campaign in the platform.
Not we'll me. Hear it in hey, confessions.
Hey, there's over here moving furniture. Break.
Man.
Taking my shoes off.
No, but to me, though, the big difference, though, Lopez, is what the needs are. Like, these other teams that we point to are out there going and getting weapons and the types of players that are typically available to you or possibly available to you on the trade deadline. It is so rare that you're actually able to trade for offensive linemen.
But that's happened.
It has happened, but it's just,
I mean, it's happened this week.
Yeah, no, I understand. Yeah. But it's just, to me, it is a harder thing to do. I criticize them more for this being their plan. Like, maybe the whole King and Green pie in the sky, hey, he's going to come back and everything's going to be okay. Maybe there should have been more of an insurance policy with that goes beyond just, say, Jared Patterson and Kendrick Green. Maybe not having a contingency plan for a regression in Shaq Mason is not a good enough thing for them. Like, to me, those are the issues of not having that, not planning for that, not so much not being able to get it here at the last minute.
Sure.
You plan to fail. You fail to plan, you plan to fail.
Correct. Mm-hmm. And I think that all of that is very well stated and correct. But we right here and right now. Right, and so from here.
No, I get it. I would like for them to do it. I just understand how they put themselves in a position to not be able to do it by putting so many chips specifically into the offseason, and none of that including the spots that are ailing them now.
Yeah.
Which, to be honest, we could have and should have foreseen. They certainly should have foreseen this being an issue. It's not like we weren't having the conversation of, hey, what's the deal with left guard? So why did it take all the way to the first week of November now to where you're going to, and I get what you're saying, we're here now.
Yeah, yeah.
But we actually have been here.
This is a familiar territory.
So, like, I mean, I'm just as frustrated as most, but I've almost wiped my hands of the fact that they've put themselves in this position where this is the team.
Yeah.
Okay. And so are they going to play better? Are they going to actually figure it out? That remains to be seen. But as far as significant changes, I have not expected it.
Yeah. Well, across the way from them at NRG Stadium on Sunday will be the Detroit Lions, a team that had the luxury of viewing the trade deadline as an opportunity to add. As they've been able to play really good football, even after they lost a defensive player of the year type caliber player in Aiden Hutchinson. Today, they add Za'Darius Smith from the Browns. It's a pick swap in 2026 where they send out a 6 and they get back a 7. And they also send out a 5th rounder this year. They come back with a high level pass rusher, and there is rumors that they're looking at yet another pass rusher as well. The Texans immediately thrown into the fire, that offensive line that is not going to shift because of Za'Darius Smith coming to town.
Does the timing of this not feel kind of cruel?
Yes, it does.
Kind of?
Yes, it does. Specifically, though, because it's not just that it's the team that they're playing. It's the fact that the Lions don't really have many weaknesses. I understand Aiden Hutchinson's hurt now, so that's why they feel like this move is necessary. But, like, that's a team that's humming. I bet you in Detroit they're not having conversation about we need this, we need that, we need this offensive lineman, and we need this receiver.
Their head coach was giddy to get this deal done.
Yeah. Dude, they are stacked. Like, they are a team. They are. You look across the board, they either have stars or dudes that star in their role on the Detroit Lions. Correct. They did not really need this move, and they just got the Detroit freaking Lions, who a lot of folks probably think is the best team in football right now, and you certainly can make that argument, just got better when they didn't even need to on the week that they're about to play.
It's about getting to that next level. And by the way, he's going to play on Sunday. Reggie and I were talking about it. Like, that's the easiest position to just see ball, get ball, and we'll worry about the details of the game plan later.
What do you think? Well, how y'all think CJ, when he saw that dude, was like, man.
Yeah.
Just going to add this Za'Darius Smith, huh?
Yep.
You going to do that to me?
Za'Darius Smith.
Yeah, man. At least coming in, it felt like you were going to have to blitz. Now, I don't even know if they got a blitz.
Yeah.
Andre Glenn is going to have a fun time when he's calling plays.
Oh, Aaron Glenn. Shout out to A&M and Nimitz. Where did Aaron Glenn go?
He went to Nimitz.
Yeah.
If you want to feel just a little bit better about the trade deadline, the Cowboys have put their quarterback on IR, so you will not see Dak Prescott, week 11, Monday Night Football, and a team that put their quarterback on the IR while already having a sub-500 record, then traded for a wide receiver, Jonathan Mingo. The Cowboys trade for him.
Oh, I remember Jonathan Mingo.
Do you?
He's still playing.
Yeah. He's still playing somehow, and now the Cowboys gave up a 4th-round pick. They'll get back a 7th-round pick for that move. So however you feel about Nick Caserio.
What are they doing?
He is not the Joneses.
Hey, they should have got Amari Cooper at that point.
Hey, the Joneses say, don't tell us we not making no moves.
Dude, DeAndre Hopkins went for a conditional 5th. They traded a 4th.
Unserious. Unserious franchise.
They are.
That's what's happening in Dallas.
Yeah.
That's a get right game if I ever saw one. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. We're just getting going with our guy Brandon Scott for this hour. Remember, it's a Texans Ticket Tuesday. We'll give that away in the 12 o'clock hour. But coming up next, it's time for B. Scott's Thoughts. We'll do that.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
It's going down. H-Town. Hiram Clark. Beast Guy.
Beast Guy from Hiram Clark.
That song. Beast Guy from Hiram Clark. In studio with us, it's our guy, Brandon Scott. He is a Texans insider. That's a dollar. He's a Texans insider and a Rockets insider.
Now that one is.
I knew it. You know what I'm blaming? I'm lashing out. I never will take the sole responsibility in a real way. I have a lozenge in my mouth that has thrown me off of my game in some ways, but that's neither here nor there. I'll pay my fine. I'll pay my penance.
It happens.
It does indeed happen. Just like what happens is when we get an opportunity to talk to B. Scott every Tuesday in the 11 o'clock hour. Appreciate you, my man. How you living?
Man, I'm living good. I got to get straight to my thoughts, man, because this has like been irking me for the last...
Irking.
I'm going to say couple of days now.
Get your rocks off.
The Texans played Thursday, so we've had a chance to let this marinate. Unlike most weeks when I come in here on a Tuesday, it's only a couple of days after game day. Mm-hmm. We've had a little bit more time to let this marinate, and we've also had more time for like analysis and reporting and stuff to get out there. And I've just seen from my own colleagues have seen too many times it be suggested that the Texans are going to fix this left guard thing by moving Titus Howard back there.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all, I got to tell you, every time I see it suggested, I get nauseous. I am nauseated by the idea. If they do this, I will lose my mind. My mind. Okay.
All caps.
Yeah. Like, seriously.
Bold and italicized. I mean,
we've done this before. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not even an experiment or like, oh, maybe this could work or maybe this is a good idea. It ain't. Don't do it. Like, if you should have a capable guard, like, now if everybody goes down, Jared Patterson's concussed and something happens to Kendrick Green, God forbid, like something like that happens. Okay, now I understand it. But if you got able bodies that play guard, that play interior offensive linemen, for that to even be an option, it should be the very, very last option. They better not do it. But I'm nervous about it because they've done it before.
Okay, so if you're watching on YouTube or Twitch, I'm grinning as he's talking. Because I wouldn't mind it as much for
God,
one reason. No, hold on.
You're so problematic on an election day.
I'm part of the problem.
I mean, it's hard to avoid being problematic on an election day, to be honest.
Let me explain though, because your first point is right. If they have a serviceable guard, they don't. You know, they didn't want to play Kendrick Green, for God's sakes.
And you can see some of why.
And then Kendrick Green gets in the game, and he wasn't much better. Here's the other part of this, B.
Yeah,
Scott.
He at least had a little heart, man.
No, he fought.
I'm not saying that King Yen doesn't, but this guy was showing it at least.
Yeah, we talked about that. He fought hard.
He's showing it.
Plus, with Titus Howard, and I'm not saying I necessarily think it's the best move. It might be the move, though, because at least you have a tackle that can step in at right tackle. You know? So if he goes to guard.
I know they drafted one, but I don't know that.
But he's played in the regular season this year to various, you know, degrees of success.
We're talking about the rookie, right?
But he's young.
Blake Fisher, correct.
But he's young. When they didn't have Titus Howard during training camp, who was playing right guard?
No, you mean tackle.
I mean right tackle.
Yeah, no, but here's the thing. First of all, I don't know that I do not know that right now Blake Fisher is a better right tackle than even Kendrick Green and Jared Patterson are our guards at this point. Like, he's that young and that inexperienced. So I don't even know if that is necessarily the case. What I do know is moving Tytus Howard to left guard has been like more so a thing that we say you can do, but when you actually do it, it's not a thing you should do. So before you even get to the tackle point, it's moving the tackle to guard that's not good at guard. Let's just not do that, regardless of who it is. That's
is he better than Kenyon Green?
I don't think so.
Oh, come on. Oh, it's going to be hard come to sell
on. No. I'm sorry. I mean Kendrick Green.
Oh, okay.
Kenyon Green is gone. Okay? Kenyon Green is injured.
I feel like it's still hard to sell me on that. Yeah.
So, no, I don't think so. We've seen it.
Hey, we might be two against one here. You're kind of with me on this.
I'm trying.
Nah, we've seen that.
I should have been quiet. My bad.
Nah. Give me Kendrick Green. Give me anybody that plays guard. Mm-hmm. I don't even care how good he is at this point. Give me anybody that plays guard over moving Tytus Howard to guard, because he's a player that is much better at one position. To me, you are taking two steps back. Like, you know what I mean? One step forward, two steps back sort of thing. To me, that's what that is.
Yeah, but you might be taking a step back on his particular play in order to get probably your five best on the field.
I don't believe it. I think once he becomes the guard and then the rookie becomes the right tackle, they are not the five best anymore.
Yeah.
Like him at guard, we say this.
Be sure to call in when they do make this move.
And then we do it, and it's like, it's terrible every time.
You promise to call in when they do this?
It's so bad. And then we're like, whenever there's a issue at left guard, it's like, oh, well, let's give Tytus Howard a ring. You mean the dude that was bad at it the last time that he did it? No.
Yeah.
No. Just because he's big and got wide shoulders,
correct,
don't make him a guard, man. He ain't.
But there's also levels to this, man. You saying bad as if all bad is the same. I mean, we've been watching awful. We've been watching instant getting beat immediately, right? And I think this is one of your thoughts. I don't want to, you know, steal it from you. However, I'm going to kind of steal it from you. Don't you hate it when somebody does that? I'm not trying to do that and then you do it.
No, it's cool. It's cool. We having a discussion. It's all good.
That's right. But like, and of course, in setting it up, I done forgot what I wanted to say. But you playing with four offensive linemen at times because Kenyon Green is getting beat that quickly. Like, I don't know how capable you are of doing things that way. So even if it's not the best, right? Is he capable of acting as a fifth offensive lineman that is there consistently? Because I don't know how many guys you have that fit that profile. The only one that I feel confident of that is Jarrett Patterson, and that was because of 10 plays. Mm-hmm. Like, what happens when you extend that out further than just 10 plays?
Yeah, I'm just hoping that Jarrett Patterson, have we checked on him? Can we get a practice report?
We need a health
update. Like, we need a concussion update.
You think we're going to get answers on anything without getting an injury report?
I'm just saying, if Jarrett Patterson can come back, that answers a lot of those questions there.
Like, at least in the short term period,
In the short term, for sure. But even if he isn't, to me, it's still a better idea to put Kendrick Green out. I know it did not look great, but I think sometimes we're able to kind of make a thing look worse or feel worse because it's been so bad. So he gives up a sack and now it's the worst thing in the world. It's like, no, he was pretty good in the run game. He was clearly rusty and had not played. I'm talking about Kendrick Green.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Clearly had not played a lot.
Okay. That is true. He didn't get the run up in the week.
No, he didn't get any run up. Even when they put Jarrett Patterson in and Patterson gets hurt, they put Kenyon back in, mm-hmm, much to the chagrin of Kendrick Green, who thought he was going to get that opportunity.
Yeah.
So, like, let the dude play a little bit. Let's not mess up the whole tackle thing. Like, let's just not do that. To me, though, like,
I can't wait for this to happen.
This does go back to the earlier point.
He's brought me back. I'm with you.
It goes back to the earlier point, though, of them not planning for this position properly. Like, putting all the eggs in the Kenyon Green basket or in the, hey, our offensive line. Once our offensive line gets whole, we were sold that. Like, I think we were sold some things, some narratives that have not turned out to be true. We were sold that continuity, Bobby Slowick returning, not getting a head coaching job, getting a raise and returning as offensive coordinator, that was going to be a good thing for the Texans. I don't know. I think that's something that we could debate today.
Yeah.
We were told that the offensive line getting whole, all those guys being together, that would be a good thing. Turns out it's not. So we've been sold some bill of goods that is not quite what it was supposed to be.
Yeah, it was depending on development being linear, right? Like, the idea was Bobby Slowick looked so good in that first year. He's going to return. It only can get better. And unfortunate reality is, no, it's possible to go the other way, too.
Absolutely. And
that similarly with Kenyon Green, right? The idea that this will get better with more play.
Didn't happen.
Any other thoughts you want to get off your chest here?
Man, I just I'm just so boiling now about this whole Titus Howard thing.
That.
So like it's got me. But I will say this though: have y'all noticed this? And maybe you have because you've been part of it. But I would really point to the fans more so because we're here for the analysis part. But does this feel like the first time that the fans have turned on D'Amico Ryans?
Oh yeah, there's
this is the first time that I sense the fans squarely at odds, and I don't want to overgeneralize, mm-hmm. but it's enough of it to say to kind of feel this that the fans are squarely at odds with the head coach,
and they should, frankly.
Okay,
he had a bad day yesterday. He had a very bad day, and I know it's sacrilegious to talk about D'Amico Ryans. And let me just clarify, as you well know, both of you. He's one of the finest human beings you will ever know.
Sure.
So let's set that aside. I don't know what he should have said yesterday exactly about the offensive line and the moves they could make and some of the decisions they're going to make, but it shouldn't have been that.
Yeah.
It should not have been what he did yesterday. 5, 6, 7 times, I'll have to go back and count. Oh, everybody needs to play better. Nobody wants to hear that.
Right. And I think that, you know, people in the media, and of course I'm raising my hand here because I exist in front of a microphone as a person in the media, we can self-aggrandize a lot where, the media is so important. But, like, the media existed historically as an avenue to tie, you know, your fan base to the team. Like, that is the way in.
Now, it's a conduit.
That conduit is the word I was looking for. Of course, newspaper man got me covered.
Yeah.
Thank you, John Lopez.
Lopez does words for a living.
He does it well, too. I appreciate it. And this is where I understand that coaches are frustrated with like instances of having to talk to the media and those types of things, but this is where that becomes an issue because I think the way that D'Amico Ryans, there's a little bit of assumption here, so I want to make that clear. I think the way that D'Amico Ryans views his meetings with the media and kind of the ways in which you could tell it's annoying to him and maybe he does not value them nearly as much. This is where now it's becoming an issue. Feeling like I don't owe you guys an answer. And of course, that's me saying that, not him saying that. But it feels like he operates in that way where he's like, I don't owe you guys an answer in some instances, like Christian Harris not giving it. We'll let you know that eventually that is through the conduit of the media. Your fan base is getting that. And when things turn bad, when you're not just operating off of a whole bunch of wins and a lot of good feelings, those are the things that if you are dealing with the media well and you're giving good messaging out, those are the things that tide you over. And right in this moment, you look to that tide over bank. And it's a little bit emptier than you thought it would be.
Yeah, 100%. This is what happens when the honeymoon phase ends and expectations rise,
mm-hmm.
right? Like we're past the newness of former player D'Amico Ryans comes back
beloved.
Home. Like we're past that point, and we're also past the point of, oh, shock the world. Now we've reached a point of expectation. And I think, Reggie, you bring up some good points about how he feels or not necessarily loves the whole process with the media, which I think is fine. I don't think there's a huge, huge issue with that functionally for his job.
Agreed.
Maybe it is from a communication standpoint. It could be before his job. But what this does mean is you have to be true to your word or your own things that you've said in the past about, hey, I want to have a better working relationship with my assistants or, you know, things like that. Like, because what are we talking about now? Mm-hmm. Bobby Slowick, the offensive line coach, Chris Strausser, the issues that they are having with the offense. Like, this is a time where his elite leadership qualities need to show up.
I don't even know. It could be. I'm not saying you're wrong. But I don't even know that the honeymoon phase is necessarily over with D'Amico Ryans. I just felt like that was a really bad day for him. We're going to hear from D'Amico in just a little bit, and every single answer, it's going to be a variation of it's fixable, everybody has to play better, it's everybody. We didn't need and want to hear that.
No, I think there is an earned respect that D'Amico Ryans has, and mm-hmm. I don't think that's faded at all. Like, I think the people that rightfully respect and like D'Amico Ryans still do, but I'm just saying the shine has been worn off of the whole, hey, it's just so good to have D'Amico back. And now it's like, well, but yo, what are you going to do about the fact that that your offense and your offensive line can't get its life together?
Right. Right. And there's no indications in some ways because of like playing close to the vest that here is the definitive answer that we have. Because the answer of we all need to play better is one that feels like it's a well duh response. We all thought that. What are you doing going above and beyond for?
Yeah,
because that's
exactly
what your job is.
So do it.
Right.
To go ahead and do that.
Right.
Because if that's all you're going to say when you're not, then do it. Just do it.
Man, always appreciate B. Scott's thoughts here in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Man, we continue with our guy B. Scott as we talk about what's popping coming up next, including an impressive Rockets win over the Knicks And I would like to get B. Scott's approach to Kelsey, Jason Kelsey's apology. We'll talk about that more next.
The biggest stories in sports and entertainment. Sports Radio 610 style. In the Loop presents What's Poppin'.
All right, let's get into what's popping here on this Texans Ticket Tuesday. Yeah, that's coming up in a few minutes. The 12 o'clock hour will open up, and that'll be the window in which we'll give those Texans tickets away. So we appreciate you hanging out with us in Loop on Sports Radio 610. But right now, let's talk about the news of what's popping. And B. Scott, let's get your vibe back in a good space. I know that the Texans really, really work your nerve a little bit. Or at least the talking about the Texans in the way that we had to.
Yeah, well, no, I mean, all of it. The way that they've played recently, the way that they have presented publicly recently, and just the overall vibe and the things that are going on right now. I'm not all the way, maybe I gave this impression that I was all the way sky is falling and the season is over. And I saw a couple of some of the people that were talking about season is over, by the way, in the chat. Those are people that I know personally, very personally. So that was actually funny to see that. Shout out to Tristan and Frankie. But the thing is, I still think that the season is in front of this team. They just have some very, very specific flaws that they need to address, that they need to get figured out. Now, is there an answer at left guard? I don't think we know that because we haven't seen enough of Jarrett Patterson yet. Mm-hmm. But if Jarrett Patterson can get in there and be as good as he was at center to start the year last year,
yeah,
at left guard this year, I think all of a sudden you're cooking with grease. Nico Collins comes back and we're all back to enjoying the season again. So I think we're that close to it, but you do want to see a little bit more accountability. And I'm with y'all at least on the urgency. I understand at least the urgency of wanting to see a deal, even if I'm personally resigned to the fact that they're probably not in a position or in the space to do one.
Well, expectation doing a lot to kind of get us in that place. Hey, welcome to having a good football team. These are the expectations, friends. How about the expectations on the Houston Rockets?
How about them?
In a different place, but they're growing as the Rockets get a big victory over the New York Knicks, one of the better scoring teams in the league, held to 97 points by your Houston Rockets. 109-97 was the final. And, man, there was some really good stuff, including Alperen Şengün getting back to his ways, getting buckets to fall down low, which he had a little bit of a struggle with, and that's kind of why he got pulled from a game or had short minutes in a game or two in the last few games. Back to being the Alpy that we love.
That is also, I would say, even before that, I would say that it's the type of defensive result that you would expect or come to expect from an MA Udoka-led team. Mm-hmm. So it's good to see them playing on brand in that way. But Alperen Şengün specifically, I got to be honest with y'all, man. I am disappointed with the way this season has started for Alperen Şengün. Mm-hmm. Hints of him not being in tip-top shape the way he was, say, last year. And at times, that's happened before. For that to happen on the heels of him getting this new deal and in a time and space when they really need him or somebody to step up in a way that they just have not yet, or develop in a way that they have not yet. Really disappointing to see him start the season the way that he has. So, likewise, really cool to see him have the night that he did last night against the Knicks. That is the type of Alperen Şengün, obviously, that you want to see. Now, you didn't necessarily get the Jalen Green performance early that you wanted, but you got some of it clutch. And for the most part, not I wouldn't even say for the most part, he's been their best player this year.
Correct.
And all signs are pointing toward him trending in the right direction.
All signs, absolutely. Now, listen, his defense in the fourth quarter, Jalen Green.
Oh, his defense all year, Lopez.
But in the fourth quarter, I mean, Brunson was having a game, but I mean, the fourth quarter, he put the locks.
He's taking that challenge,
yes,
Lopez. It is the thing. Reggie, you and I have talked about this at Toyota when we've been there. It is the thing that has impressed me most, because I thought he did make some strides last year on the offensive side.
I wasn't quite buying him yet.
Well, when he was struggling, I thought he was doing some things better. His jumper was just broke.
Yeah.
But, what do you do? Jumper's broke. But, like, he was making better decisions. This year, you've seen the defense just amped up a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely.
To a whole nother level. And him sort of like this attitude of challenging, of wanting to guard one of their better wings. Yeah. Like he wants that matchup.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, man, it's there.
And interestingly, we're talking about Alperen Şengün. And, I've said this and we've seen some people on the text board say it. I think you can compare and contrast how Ime handled Şengün and what D'Amico was saying yesterday. Because Udoka flat out said, talked about his conditioning. And then what happened the next time he's out? he stepped up his game. He made him publicly accountable, as opposed to what D'Amico did was just like, we all have to play better. There's your answer, Texter. I mean, that's one of the things he could have done.
And Ime still put his arm around his shoulder.
Yeah.
Alpi, after the game, was talking and basically alluded to the idea that, you know, Ime was talking to him and, like, giving him guidance through it, as he always does, right? It seemed like Alpi was not, like, challenged in such a way that it hurt his confidence or his, you know, ego, mm-hmm. or whatever. He challenged him.
He also gave him the encouragement to get to the place. What could D'Amico have said? Maybe something along those lines.
Yeah, so this is interesting because I had not thought of this comparison, but there is a bit of a difference between them personality wise in terms of like Udoka is just a lot more blunt and direct.
Yes.
Whereas I feel like D'Amico has this element of politeness to him. Mm-hmm. Now, it hasn't necessarily been polite as of late, right? Right. Or I wouldn't say it's been impolite, but you know what I mean.
It's been evasive.
He's never impolite, but it's been a little testy. I think that Ime this is just kind of his get down. Mm-hmm. Like, he just kind of tells it what it is. He's not going to really sugarcoat a thing. So to me, I think those are just difference in styles between the two. But I would agree with that you would have liked to have seen him channel a little bit of that, to be a little bit more of that, to just kind of be blunt about it. The way he was, we were talking about this in the break, the way he was on Thursday night, it felt like quarterback can't be getting hit. It's not good enough. It's not acceptable. Things of that nature, the way he was talking, as opposed to the way he did Monday. That's more in line with the way that Ime Udoka talks about his players.
And of course, I want to, you know, paint all of this with a certain color, which is what helps all of this and what makes Ime's approach better than D'Amico's right now is just, oh, we got the results on the back end, right? Like, if the results are different, we're talking about how the approach for D'Amico is significantly better than the other.
But you talk about linear, matters. What Udoka said directly led, to me anyway, to Şengün stepping up. Like, he was called out.
I mean, I can see it. Şengün obviously is a good player and is capable of that type of performance under any circumstance.
And you can also see how, like, the scoring that he was having in the paint, as I alluded to, was anomalous. Like, the fact that he was not scoring at as high of a rate as he typically does in those confined spaces near the rim. You always thought that would bounce back, and it happened. But I think that obviously the call-out helps in some way.
And also the fact that you were having a rough Jalen Green night.
Yeah.
Like, Jalen Green has been the sort of – he has been the guy for the most part all year, as opposed to Şengün, who had been, and then this was a night when you really needed him to be that again. So so he stepped up and he was, but I wouldn't dismiss that, Lopez, that being called out, being challenged even, to say, hey, not just is this not good enough, but we actually need more.
Yeah.
Like, it's not just about calling you out, but it is needing you to be better, and then I'm showing up. So hopefully the Texans can who'd have thought we'd been saying that hopefully the Texans can take a lesson from Rockets, a page out of the Rockets book.
Emulate the Rockets a little bit.
We'll see. But here we are. That is where we are, at least for this week. Now, they go out there and beat the Lions. I did want to say that they go out there and beat the Lions and the tone changes completely.
This almost feels like a challenge to me personally. This is why I'm wired wrong at times. Like, I almost feel like if they beat the Lions, I'm going to be the guy that's like, but I also still want you to know I'm concerned about this. No, you're right. It would.
Yeah, we know they beat the Lions, but that offensive line is a concern.
That was gold.
That was all smoke and mirrors. Yeah. It was all smoke and mirrors.
Hey, they ain't going to beat no playoff team.
Yeah.
That's the way to change the conversation, though. That is. Go out there and beat the best team in football.
We're going
to
come in Super Bowl.
Right, exactly. Best team in the league got beat. What's happening? We the new best team in the league.
Yeah. All
right.
Amigo Ryan's coach of the year.
Give us our respect.
All right. So you, B-Scott, have you seen what happened with Jason Kelce at Penn State?
I did.
If you did not, Jason Kelce was out at Penn State watching a big time matchup between Ohio State and Penn State. Obviously, Penn State lost. But he was walking out of there with some beers under his hand, and he was just moving quickly. People kind of, oh, Jason Kelce, whatever. And one idiot decides that he's going to try and accost Jason Kelce, putting that camera phone in his face and telling him that his brother Travis Kelce is a F-word gay slur because he dates Taylor Swift.
Which I don't know how that works, but
yeah.
Still,
okay.
Still doesn't make sense there? To me. I don't know how the words that's worked
not,
in that way.
That's not even, yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm, no, mm-hmm, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But Jason Kelce took that phone, threw it to the ground, said basically, there's your F-word, right? Like, who's the F-word now? Yeah. A couple of times. And then people on the internet resoundingly said, yep, nope, he did the right thing. This is Jason Kelce on the Monday night in the studio for Monday Night Football. Apologizing, ostensibly.
You know, listen, I think everybody's seen on social media everything that took place this week. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm... Listen, I'm not happy with anything that took place. I'm not proud of it. And, you know, in a heated moment, I chose to greet hate with hate. And I just don't think that that's a productive thing. I really don't. I don't think that... you know, it leads to discourse, and it's the right way to go about things. And in that moment, I fell down to a level that I shouldn't have. So I think the bottom line is, you know, I want to live my life. I try to live my life by the golden rule. That's what I've always been taught. I try to treat people with common decency and respect, and I'm going to keep doing that moving forward, even though this past, even though I fell short this week. I'm going to do that moving forward and continue to do that. So, yeah, I think we got a game to focus on. Obviously, a matchup. I don't think this is the platform to necessarily go into more detail. So get ready for this Chiefs game.
Much respect, bro. Respect. Real. Yeah. All respect.
Yeah,
respect.
This is the platform he brought it up on. B. Scott, your thoughts.
Yeah, so I think that most people were in support of him responding to the heckler, if you will. The issue and the reason why I hope, at least, and mm-hmm. sounds like, and I'm pretty sure because he's working for Disney.
Yeah.
I think he's apologizing for the slur mm-hmm. and less so the reaction, the property damage of slamming the phone and the reaction to some jackass that's trying to get a reaction from him. I think that person kind of earns that. Like, if you're going to be out here for no reason antagonizing Jason Kelce, mm-hmm. like, you kind of deserve, for the most part, within reason, what you get. Like, if your phone gets slammed to the ground,
bleep around and find out.
And you get, yeah, you bleep around and find out in that case. The issue here is, what did the gay people do to anybody in this situation? Like, the gays got to be sitting there, like, looking at the heckler and looking at Jason Kelce, like,
yeah, we're just sitting here.
Could you leave them out of it?
Why am I in it?
Why is they in it? So that's the whole issue. Yeah. It's like, okay, why couldn't you respond to this idiot? Like, if you wanted to meet hate with hate, go ahead and do that. But, like, leave the slurs and the people that don't have nothing to do with it out of it. Like, that's kind of the point.
I respect what he did in apologizing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think he needed to do that
because he used that word, and I think he was embarrassed. But it still didn't change my opinion, Reggie, on
no.
Like, I think that dude was a dummy.
Oh, yeah.
That got what probably he deserved.
Yeah, screw his phone.
Yeah.
Yeah, go get you a new phone, dog. Like, to me, once you use your property to purposefully annoy people, the property damage that comes after that is on you. It's on you.
Yeah.
So I hear you.
Don't do it. Jason Kelce alone.
That's right.
Public.
That's right. I appreciated Sean Pendergast noting, however, earlier this morning, that was kind of a non-apology. He did not state what he did. He really didn't say that he was sorry specifically. Like, I feel like we would not have to interpret, even though I think we interpret correctly that he was probably talking about using them slurs.
He should have said that.
He should have said, as you know what happened. No, not everybody did. Go ahead and let us know. Yeah. These are the things I did. This is why it's bad, and this is why I won't do them again, right? Like, that's typically the way the apologies work. However, and still, mess around and find out with a former NFL offensive lineman. Not the way that I'd go about
who
my
just
business.
Just got done playing,
personally.
He's basically still an NFL offensive lineman.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what are you doing?
I would not handle my business in such a way. All right. Unfortunately, our time has come to an end with our guy, B. Scott, on a Tuesday. Brandon, we appreciate your time, always.
Time flies, man. Appreciate you, man.
It sure does. We were definitely having fun, even though I don't imagine B. Scott enjoys us talking about moving Tyce Howard inside.
No, y'all can talk about it all you want.
I can't.
Just
wait.
Say, no, don't.
It makes me nauseous, but we can talk about it.
Fair enough.
Just don't.
Fair enough.
We'll, do it.
We'll give you a little bit of a reprieve from that as we enter the wicket, the window rather. I don't know how wickets came into it.
Through
all
the
of
wickets,
a sudden I turned into a cricket aficionado or something.
Turned into a Bostonian.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah,
it's wicked crazy.
Wicked smart.
Yeah. Wicked smart.
All right. We enter the window for the Texans. Ticket Tuesday giveaway. We'll do that in this next hour. But coming up next, in honor of Election Day, we'll give you some ballot measures for your Texans. Yay or nay on these various questions about your Texans team. You can cast your vote by texting into the 5-Hour Energy fan line, 713-572-4610. We'll take you to the polling location next.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.